Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's suppose you wanted to build a house. You don't know much about building, but you know that you need cement, lumber, nails, plumbing, and electrical materials. So you go to the building supply store, buy a bunch of these items, and take them to your property. You start sawing and nailing boards together and stringing the electrical wires around and putting pipes here and there for the building. If your finished product was anything more than a ramshackle lean-to, you would be lucky. What you lack is a plan or a blueprint. If you want to build a house, you need a blueprint which shows the design and necessary materials. No one in their right mind would consider building a house without a blueprint. Everyone would agree that the structure called a house is not nearly as important as the relationship called a home. And yet, while we wouldn't think of building a house without a blueprint, many go about building their homes with no idea of God's plan. This doesn't make sense. And the result all too often is a ramshackle lean-to family life. Our psalm for today, Psalm 128, is showing us an ideal life. But we don't live in an ideal world. Some homes have already been split apart by divorce, and a single mom is trying to hold everything together. Others in mixed marriages where the husband is hostile or indifferent to the gospel, and the wife is trying to provide spiritual training for her children. If your family is far from the ideal, don't despair. It does not mean that God won't bless you. Whatever your situation, God wants you to fear Him and walk in His ways. But just because we can't totally follow the ideal life, let's not scrap the plan. Like throwing a pebble in a placid lake. Psalm 128 begins with a godly man as the head of the home, ripples out to his wife, then to the children, and finally shows the effect of this godly home on the nation. How do you lead your family spiritually? There's some good news and some bad news. The good news is it is easy to lead. Kids follow your example. But that is also the bad news. We can't escape being examples to our children, either for good or for bad. We do live our lives in Christianity in our attitudes, words, and action in the home. Do our kids see the fruit of the Spirit in us, especially when we're under pressure? A great deal of our kids learn about everyday life comes from watching our example as dads and moms. Scary, isn't it? A study once disclosed that if both parents attend the church regularly, 72% of their children remain faithful. If only the dad attends regularly, it drops to 55%. If only mom comes, it plummets to 15%. If neither parent attends but just sends the kids, only 6% remain faithful. This is what the Pulpit Helps in June of 1981 said. I would imagine that in today's world, some 37 years later, these percentages are slashed in half. What message is this for us at St. Peter's? There is a saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And we could also add, It takes the body of Christ to raise the child in the faith. On Wednesdays at 5:30, we have supper here in the fellowship hall and in the midweeks with the midweek students. It is followed by a short chapel service in which we learn the faith, to live the faith, which reinforces why we are attending midweek. We recite the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Luther's Evening Prayer. I know it strengthens my spirit when we make our confessions and pray together. It is good for the children to know we are there to support them and also confessing our beliefs aloud with them. I often think about Dodie's parents walking up the walk to church in the driving rain and the strong winds, when we would say to them, "Why don't you just stay home in the weather like this?" Their response would always be, "We must come. What will the young people think if we are not faithful?" A little girl was out in the yard where her dad was working and after a rainstorm. She stepped exactly where he stepped and called out to him, "Daddy, if you don't get mud on your feet, I won't get any mud on me." A dad and his son were climbing a mountain and came to a difficult part. He stopped to consider the best route up. Behind him, his son called out, "Choose the best path, Dad. I'm coming right behind you." In Deuteronomy 6:7, "Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up." In Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." And in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, he writes, "Encourage your people with good teaching, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." I'd like to close with a poem, with the author is not known. "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me. I merely show me the way. For the eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Good counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put into action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue fast may run. And the lectures you may deliver may be very fine and true, but I'd rather get my lesson by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. In the strong name of Jesus, amen."